that is the first letter I ever had from her, as we haven't been separated since we were very small when Rose had scarlet fever. Stephen hasn't been to London any more, and I'm sure he hasn't seen the photographs of himself. I should have known if they had been sent here. It is really a good thing that he seems to have lost interest in me, because, feeling like this, I might not have been brisk with him. Feeling like what, Cassandra Mortmain? Flat? Depressed? Empty? If so, why, pray? I thought if I made myself right, I should find out what is wrong with me, but I haven't so far. Unless... could I possibly be jealous of Rose? I will pause and search my innermost soul. I suddenly know what has been the matter with me all week. Heavens, I'm not envying Rose. I'm missing her. Not missing her because she is away now, though I have been a little bit lonely, but missing the Rose who has gone away forever. There used to be two of us always on the lookout for life, talking to Miss Blossom at night, wondering, hoping. Two Bronte, Jane Austen girls, poor but spirited, two girls of Godsend Castle. Now there is only one, and nothing will ever be quite such fun again. Oh, how selfish I am, when Rose is so happy. I must go down and feed my family. It is Midsummer Day, and as beautiful as its name. I am writing in the attic. I chose it because one can see Belmont from the window, and I must set it down today so that I shall have it forever, intact and lovely, untouched by the sadness that is coming, for of course it is coming. My brain tells me that. I thought it would have come by this morning, but it hasn't. Oh, so much it hasn't that I can't quite believe it ever will. My lovely day began when the sun rose. I often wake then, but usually I go to sleep again. Yesterday I instantly remembered that it was Midsummer Eve, my very favourite day, and lay awake looking forward to it and planning my rites on the mound. While I was getting breakfast, Stephen told me he wouldn't be into lunch, as he usually is on Saturdays, because he was going to London to sit for Mrs. Fox Cotton again. She wants to start work the very first thing tomorrow, he explained, so I'm to go up today and sleep the night there. He had barely left the house when Father came down, wearing his best suit. He, too, was off to London, and for several days, if you please. Where will you stay? With the Cottons? I ventured. Ventured being the way I ask him all questions these days. What? Where? Yes, I dare say I might. That's a very good idea. Any messages for the girls? Don't speak for a minute. I stared at him in astonishment. He had picked up a plate from the table and was examining it carefully. Just a cracked old willow pattern plate I'd found in the hen house and brought in to relieve the crockery shortage. Interesting. Quite a possibility, he said at last, then left, taking the plate with him. Never have I known him so spasmodic. Or have I? Wasn't he rather like that in the days when his temper was violent? As I walked back to the house, it dawned on me that I was going to be alone for the night. Thomas was spending the weekend with Harry, his friend at school. Once I got used to the idea of being by myself for so long, I positively liked it. I always enjoy the different feeling there is in a house when one is alone in it, and the thought of that feeling stretching ahead for two whole days somehow intensified it wonderfully.